152 is a magnificent hymn which you can sing magnificently. Will you do it now as we sing it together? Our Father, we come to the appointed place where often we have experienced the fulfillment of thy promise that when men gather in thy name, thou art in the midst. We need thy presence and we would recognize it today. Forgive our sins and may the worship of this hour in sincerity and in truth honor thee and bless the people. In Jesus' name, amen. You will be seated. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwelt in the valley of the shadow, upon them hath the light shined. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall henceforth come unto thee no more the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye were sold for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what do I hear, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them do howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually all the day long is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, here am I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And may the Spirit interpret for us the scripture as it is brought in song and spoken word.
Children gathered from the
speaking to the busy and burdened people of Corinth, once upon a time said, "Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." I suppose I could give the biography of each person in this presence in one or the other of the stories of men I have met. The first man was a member of my church, and we were riding together on the way to Florida for a fishing vacation, when he said to me, "Preacher, I don't get much fun out of life anymore. I don't need to work, and I don't want to work, and I don't know how to play. And life has lost all of its kick." We were riding in a Cadillac automobile. The man had plenty of money. He had influence in business circles in the city. But he said, "I don't get much fun out of life." There was another man. He was a Negro man. And he was singing at his work very early in the morning, even before he'd had his coffee. And another man who came upon him said, "Well, Uncle, you sound pretty happy this morning." And he said, "Yes, sir, I've never lived this day before." And I liked that tremendously. He had achieved something that every man among us needs. "Yes, sir, I've never lived this day before." Well, the poet had already said it in a more beautiful, but not any more significant way when he declared, "The day will bring some lovely thing. I say it over each new dawn. Some gay, adventurous thing to hold against my heart when it is gone. And so I rise and go to meet the day with wings upon my feet. No day has ever failed me quite. Before the grayest day is done, I come upon some misty bloom or the late line of setting sun. Each night I pause remembering some gay, adventurous, lovely thing." I suppose I have already told the story of your life, because a man does not need to be 40 years old, as was my friend on the fishing trip, to find life burdensome and stale. He was a vigorous, at least physically, he was a vigorous red-headed student who came to me once upon a time after he had failed to turn in a good deal of his written assignments, and he said, "I've been going to school now for 20 years, and I'm just tired of it." Now, his wife was hard at work earning her PhD, and he wasn't hard at work at anything because he was just tired of going to school. So far as I could see, he was tired of everything. And I felt the same way. Another lecture to be given, another group of papers to be read. Teachers find the zest going out of life sometimes, and so do students. But I think there are some men among us, and I'm certain that all of us want to join that group, who are so grateful for the opportunities of the now that they rejoice in the privilege of the day. He must have been an inquisitive passenger who was touring the little ship and finally got down into the engine room, where you expect the fumes of burned oil and dirt. But our visitor was completely surprised to find that the engine room was as clean as the deck, and that the engine itself rivaled in brilliance the sterling silver in the dining room. And so he turned and said to the engineer, "My, I've never seen anybody keep the engine so beautifully clean." And this wise man replied also, "Oh, I've got a glory." Well, Archibald Rutledge, the poet laureate of South Carolina, heard the story, and he wrote for himself and for every one of us, "Oh, you got to get a glory in the work you do, a hallelujah chorus in the heart of you, sing or tell a story or shovel coal. But you got to get a glory, or the work lacks soul." And how very true it is that we must learn the secret of joyous living, or we're going to miss a good deal of life itself and are going to achieve much less than we ought to achieve. Dr. J.C. Massey, a preacher of a generation ago, at the time I heard him speak, was pastor of the Tremont Temple in Boston. An elderly man with beautiful white hair. And as he spoke, he declared, "I am more enthusiastic about Jesus Christ today than I've ever been before." You'll have to be able to say that every time you stand up to preach. Our preaching will get to be a terrific burden. You'll have to feel that every time you get before a class. Our teaching is going to wear you out. You'll have to feel it with everyday study, or you're going to get buried beneath Greek forms. Or you may even get worn out with homiletical assignments. You got to get a glory in the work you do, a hallelujah chorus in the heart of you, sing or tell a story or shovel coal. But you got to get a glory, or the work lacks soul. I've often wondered if Samson, chained to the treadmill, did not many a time bury his face in his hands and cry out against the monotony of an unending road. But then I've hoped that he felt the new growth of beard on his face, and accepting the challenge of the situation, threw back his shoulders and walked with firmer tread, because every day meant added strength for the present task and the future victory. A good many of us, in the monotony of the routine toil of the days, long to soar away on eagle's wings and to reach the sunlight of the mountaintops, where it seems to us all is well, only to find that we're faced with a routine. Every day calls to the same round of toil, and every hour offers its program of trifles. And we cry out against the monotony of all of it, unless we too have got a glory in the soul. In times like that, we need to remember that life is a divine gift. It is plotted according to a divine plan. All its redeemed powers and possibilities ought to be dedicated in highest service in the routine of the moment. For great living does not consist in the poor doing of great things. Great living consists in the great doing of the little and necessary things of which life is always full. You gotta get a glory. And for a Christian preacher, it should not be a difficult thing. It is the normal and natural thing. If it were not, you never would have heard the magnificent song to which you've just listened. You never would have found that a man with the soul of a poet, who was living in a very primitive day and was remembering captive people and the scene where one of them came to bring good news to the rest. It was only a man with a glory in his soul who could have noticed that the footprints of preachers who preach a gospel are the most beautiful marks in the world, because the gospel is glad news to everybody all the time. And your high privilege is to proclaim good news to everybody under every possible situation. Therefore, for a preacher, a sense of zest, a glory in the soul, is normal, natural, necessary. You can take any of the great pronouncements of Scripture and read them over without any realization, and they're not worth giving to your people. One of my favorite psalms is the 27th. Listen to it and look at it a minute. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Well, everybody, just about. But that wasn't the psalm at all, was it? A man needs a glory. He needs to recognize that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Why should I get tired? Now that's the glory that must possess us, that ought to possess us, that can possess us. If we ourselves are experiencing the realities that belong to us to share to all men. And so one gets a glory, first of all, by trusting in the truth of the gospel he proclaims, so that he himself, experiencing it, realizes its resources. And then he must do this practice for the glory of God. Well, let me rewrite that verse a minute. It said, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It ought to read about like this. In everything you do, seek to reveal the radiance of God. Because the glory of God is the character of God shining out. In everything you do, do it to reveal the radiant character of God, because he's a part of your life situation. He's a factor in every man's environment. Now, I think the trouble with my friend who had the Cadillac lay in the fact that he had done all he wanted to do for himself. He was tired of working for himself. It didn't do any good anyhow. He had all the things he needed. And therefore, when a man does for himself, he comes to the point where there's no use of any more doing. Selfishness turns inward and destroys the man who seeks to promote his own interests. But the man who looks at the world of duty and responsibility as a world of opportunity and privilege, this man is so walking among the sons of man that somebody is going to be singing about him. How beautiful upon the mountains or anywhere else are the footprints of him who bringeth good tidings, who publisheth peace, who bringeth good tidings of good, who publisheth salvation, who saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Oh, you've got to get a glory in the work you do. A hallelujah chorus in the heart of you. Sing or tell a story or shovel coal. But you've got to get a glory or the work lacks soul. And now, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus' name.